You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
If you want to turn your Bibles, we are in John chapter 15, the scripture that Rachel led us in this morning. As a reminder as well, we're going through this discipleship process called Multiply. We focus on a particular topic for the week and then have reading on it. And those are all available online and through our website, or Multiply Movement has a website as well. And you can read, and we're on the Great Commission this week. And then we have small groups that will meet during the week and we'll talk about these particular topics and take us through the Word. And so this week we're in the last half of the book of John, and you can read that and soak that in as well. But it's also Lent, and so we do have resources for that as well. We have one handout back there on observing Lent and some ideas for it, why to observe it, so just some things there. And then scripture reading that you can do during Lent as well to focus us in on the story of Christ and take us into the season of Good Friday and then the resurrection. So all of those are available. But this week we're talking about the Great Commission. And I want to go at it from the texts that we have for reading, which is John. So I wanted to center in on John chapter 15. And I want to start with this particular thought. Fruit. We see that bear much fruit. If you're attached to me, if you remain in me, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And one of the reminders that we want to keep in front of us is this: fruit is not about numbers. Fruit is about kingdom character. Fruit is not about numbers. Fruit is about kingdom character. Are you looking like Jesus? Are you looking like the kingdom? That's the fruit that Jesus is talking about. And so as we look at that to focus in on the Great Commission, it is to be reminded of what Jesus has commanded us to do, and that is we are to go and to make disciples. And it's not about simple proclamation. It's not about, you know, if we could get a satellite up and beam a TV program into every TV that has a satellite receiver or anything like that. Or if we could just find a way to post something on social media, I could text everybody in the world and we've reached the whole world. It's not that. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And it's about making disciples. The Great Commission is about, are we replicating ourselves? The Great Commission certainly has missions as a huge part. And in that way, for us as Heights Church, there's a good, strong sense of we're tremendously involved in the Great Commission. We support more missionaries than we have days in a month, which is good news. And we pray for two missionaries every week that we support. And we heard from another one, Jeremy Owen, in the video. And we're reminded of our calling, that it is about this gospel and how do we get this gospel effectively out so that in other parts of the world, disciples are being made. You know, and we're beginning to partner with different things in a more permanent way, where we're starting to do, for myself, starting to do a couple of trips into Ethiopia and seeing what the Lord has for us there. But it's not just about that. It's about making disciples, intentional followers of Christ. And Multiply, the material that we're going through, is about intentional discipleship. Following Christ, having the image of Christ formed in you, where we are soaked in the story of Christ and the story of Scripture, and that becomes a part of who we are. And the more we're reminded of the story, the more it soaks in, and the more we can allow that to have a work in us. And we follow Jesus not because He has a particular answer to our particular question. We don't follow Jesus because of miracles that He has done. Or like last week we looked at out of John 6, we don't follow Him just because He gives us lunch. It's that sense of we follow Him because He is King. And you follow Him because He is life. And He speaks to us and we are called to listen. Jesus is the master teacher, and when he instructs, we obey. So out of this is this desire to want to be his disciples, to have an apprenticeship to Jesus, to learn to walk in kingdom power. And if there is anything I would want to instill in others about being Great Commission Christians, it's where we are in the text today. The greatest thing I could ever instill in anyone about how to be a Great Commission Christian is we have to abide in Christ. We have to remain in him. He has to be our life. And out of that flows this desire to see what does God want to do through me so that no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing in the world, if that life is flowing through me, it should be the opportunity, if we are, as the body of Christ, remaining in Christ, that no matter where anybody goes in the world, if they are not following Christ and they bump into someone who's following Christ, who is remaining in Christ, no matter where people go in the world, they can't get away from them. You, because people are being Jesus. It's abiding. It's living. It's just letting that life flow through us. Yeah, and so when we are about relationship with him, kingdom power flows, and the Great Commission takes place much more effectively. So we must be consumed, not with how many that we can save, because here's the thing, we can't save anyone. We can't do it. It is Christ who saves. We need to be occupied with a heart that is abiding in Christ. We are the branches, and branches only thrive when they are attached to the vine. And fruit happens when you're attached to the vine. And here's the other thing about that. Whatever vine you're attached to is the fruit that comes out. Okay? That's why we need to understand fruit is not about numbers. It's about the nature of the kingdom, the characteristics of the king. If that's what's coming out, then you're attached to the vine. Okay? But fruit isn't about thinking, I'm an apple, and then realizing you're actually attached to an orange tree. You know? Well, if I just tape apples up to my branch, then I'll be an apple tree. No, you're an orange tree. You know, we keep thinking we're supposed to be something. You know, what are you attached to? That's what flows out. That's the fruit. And we need to understand that if we're attached to Jesus, Jesus should come out. That is what should be reflected in us. And the Great Commission is effective when the world looks at the church and actually sees Jesus. Being in the vine isn't always about being comfortable. He says in there in verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit. So it's not like, oh, I didn't, he cuts off what doesn't belong. Fine, that's great. But he prunes, which means cut, just not severely, those that remain, so you can bear more fruit. So we need to understand that when we are attached to Jesus, that being in the vine isn't always comfortable. Sometimes he has to cut through some things. He prunes. But if we want the kingdom coming through, we need to know how and where he cuts in our lives is what is good for us. And that is why Lent is so important, to be in a season where we can intentionally draw ourselves aside. Because one of the hardest things for us to do as believers is when we are in a place of prosperity, when we're in a place of wellness, when we're in a place of good, when we're in a place of having enough, it's hard to follow Jesus because we forget. And seasons like Lent can draw us back in through discipline to say, wait a minute, I need to be reminded. And Lent can be that opportunity, a season to ask the Lord, what needs to be cut? What needs to happen in me that allows that cutting back so that fruit can keep coming out? We may need to give up something. Sometimes the challenge is Lent, part of Lent is to give up something that is you know, good for us, or we like something that is desirable to us. And part of that process, and that's one of those mysteries of those wonderful mysteries of this the Spirit, is that sometimes when we give up something, you know, like how is fasting attached to hearing God more? And it's just one of those spiritual principles that's there. There's no scientific, well, if you do this, there's no mathematical rule to it. It's just, if you cut something out that God says, I need you to set this aside for a while, we hear him. He speaks. And that's the opportunity that we have. Examination in our lives is so crucial. So the invitation for us in Lent is, for this season, allow the Spirit to work in us deeply. And remaining and abiding can happen in this. And it has, obviously, tremendous upside. In verse 7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You know, it's the, as a, ask whatever you wish. These verses always, I'm like, you just like, I'm like, what? Ask whatever, you know. But when you're remaining, it's fruit that's coming out, you know what to ask. But ask. You know, one of the things we, you know, I always talk about is the nature of the kingdom is to ask. The nature of the kingdom is to ask. If you lack wisdom, ask. If you lack provision, ask. If you, you know, anything that you need to know, you can ask the master teacher, because he's the one who does indeed know. You know, and it's not to ask for things alone, but to ask for things in general. For when we abide in him, kingdom values are pouring through us, and we learn how to ask in a better way. Well, but this, there's this tremendous invitation to abide and then to be able to ask and to know that he can respond. So we have this invitation of asking, Lord, how do I pray better? Lord, how do I reach my neighbor better? Lord, how do I contribute better with the gifts that you've given me so I can contribute better to the body of Christ, to the world around me? Lord, what are my gifts? The nature of the kingdom is to ask. Our need is to abide, to remain. So often the natural question here is, how? How do we do that? You know, in our age of, you know, acquired ADHD and all this other stuff, you know, it's like all this, you know, you start on something and then you go squirrel, you know, a shiny thing, point, you know, it's like, you know, all these things that are going on around us. And we want to find ways that help us attach ourselves to Jesus. And we find ways to plow up the ground in our heart. So what I want to do is give you some things that have been helpful to me. Some things that may work for you. But the point is to find those habits that will continually turn your heart toward God. So some of these things that I want to list here. The first thing is this, hums and hymns, okay? I jotted down on the resource page on our website today, we need more hummers, not those big SUV things, okay? But we need more hummers, you know? Much of the time, you can hear me coming. I'm humming or whistling. One of those two things. There's just something that's going through my mind. There's a song that's going through my mind, and generally, for me, it's a hymn. For me, it's a hymn. And part of that is just, you know, I'm half a century. My memory just isn't what it used to be, you know? And so I'm like, you know, I can remember things in the past, things yesterday. I can't, not so good, you know? And so hymns are just those things that have been soaked in, you know, and we learn newer songs. And you know, the truth of the matter is I just can't keep up. You know, I'm just like, we learn great songs, and I love the songs that Pastor Grace is always working on that draw us into the truth of the kingdom. My problem is I can't remember them, you know, and I work on that. And I was listening to a particular soundtrack on online this morning, and I'm like, oh wait, I know that one. And I was like, I actually know that one. I was like, kind of going through it, but my poor memory, I just can't do it. So I've got these hymns, you know, but the thing that for any of us is there are songs that go through with us. I think what we're, you know, if we pay attention to the songs that we do now, those become like hymns to you all, and then you keep those in your heart and move along with, let it become a part of the rhythm of your life. And so it's, you know, for me, it's this remembering of a few songs that just kind of soak in. And for me, it comes out, I'm humming or I'm whistling or something like that. But the reason is I always want my praise rising up to God. And I want something in my heart so deep that that's what boils out first. You know, that's what comes up. And so for me, it's just these songs that I'll have in my heart. So my mind is all, you know, if it comes out of my heart and then into my mind, then it's filtering the right way rather than from out here and into my mind. Okay. I create a filter if it's in my heart first and coming to my mind, and it creates this grid that I can look at life through, okay? But if I don't have that grid, you know, there's a difference between having a filter in your life and an open sewer in your life, okay? And if you don't have a filter, you're an open sewer, okay? It's just, you let all the junk flow in, okay? Having songs in our hearts helps us to filter. You know, and it's so for me, it's just, you know, those things that will, you know, just kind of bubble up from time to time. You know, I'll just start all this. The thing that I actually love is there are times I'm actually humming and then I catch up to it. You know, I actually start listening. Oh, I'm humming, you know, and what am I humming? And I'm usually, you know, there's some song, you know, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. You know, I get those songs in my heart and let them rise up. And we want to have a song. So, you know, you may not be a hummer. You may not know how to whistle or anything like that. But let a song rise up in your heart. Let something soak in that the praises of God can flow through. You know, and a lot of times it is. It's that wonderful opportunity where we can just, you know, turn on something on our phones and let it play and let it soak and then let that soak in and realize down the road that's actually carrying you, you know, and you let that song rise up. So that's one of the things that helps me, because it just keeps my spirit settled. And if I'm not humming a song, I'm usually mad at something else, and I don't like to be mad at other things anymore. And so I try to hum more. I'm humming a lot lately. Yeah, but... the second thing is feasting at the table. Feasting at the table. Don't just take communion. Feast at his table. It's not about taking communion. It's about feasting at the table of the Lord. That every week we draw ourselves to that focus of the presence of the Lord at the table. And every week we offer up that opportunity. And what we need to do every week is not act as it's something perfunctory and this is how we end the service and this is, you know, this will get us to the next thing. But it's that sense of, here's my opportunity to draw aside and allow the Spirit to work. So Lord, help me to hear you. As Pastor Grace leads in worship, that song that can rise up, it can be as that worship is going that you just kind of settle in and say, Lord, I need to just kind of realign some things here and allow that to happen during that time. It's also the time where we just really truly believe this is the presence of the Lord at the table. So it's a time to pray for healing. It's a time to ask for healing. And we want to have that in our lives. And so you can come for prayer and understand that healing is flowing. And so don't rush through the worship that we have at the table of the Lord. Don't take communion. Feast at the table. You know, allow that to do something in your life. Every week we have that opportunity. The third thing is the thing that I just can't emphasize enough, and that's feasting on the Word. I can never say enough about our absolute need to be in the Word. You know, we give you scriptures. Multiply gives you just a lot of scripture every week. The reading gives you, like, we're in the last half of the book of John. That's a lot to plow through. Soak it in. Soak it in. During the Lent season, we have Lenten readings that you can do four particular parts out of all of the scripture, the whole counsel of scripture. Every day you can be soaking in that. You know, we can always find a place to camp in the Word. A list of scriptures that are familiar to us, and we allow the Spirit to work through that. Right now I'm soaking in Romans 8. And again, my memory is not as good as it used to be. I thought I could just memorize Romans 8. It's not happening. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. So every day I take just a portion out of Romans 8 and I just pray it through. And I just meditating on what it is to be in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to have the culture of the Spirit in my life and the culture of the kingdom ruling in my life. And I look at it and I just ask the Lord to be, to help me understand what's going on. You know, or you take this scripture, John 15, 1 through 8, and all this week, just allow that to soak in. Just allow the Word to soak in. Read a passage, not a very long one even. Read a passage, sit in silence. Ask for the Spirit to bring a word or a phrase out to you and just let that begin to soak in. And then read through it again. And then pray that passage and say, Lord, this is the word, or this is the phrase that I'm sensing here. What is it that you want to teach me? And then read it again and pray, or maybe jot down some thoughts and say, Lord, this is what I think you're wanting to say to me and how I need to respond to it. You know, and it's just allowing something to go through us more and more. You know, don't be in a hurry. You know, if you read John 15 today, and you read John 15 tomorrow, and you read John 15 the next day, guess what? You didn't make John 16 blow up. It's gonna be there. It's going to be there. That's the beauty of Scripture. We don't have to rush through. We don't have to be in a race. It's not about checking off a list. It's about what is it that the Lord wants to do through the Word. Now, sometimes it's soaking in bigger chunks, and that's fine. But what is the Spirit asking us to do in that particular moment? Feast on the Word. Because the more I feast on that Word, that's the most direct route I have to get me to hear what the Spirit wants to tell me. It's the written word. And allow the Spirit to take those words and come off the page. The third thing there is chewing on great reading. Outside of the Word, there are spiritual giants who can guide us. There are people who have walked a path that have been tremendous with the Lord. And we need to glean from that. I want, you know, if it's somebody that I know personally and, you know, I can hang out with them, I want to hang out with them. If it's someone that's walked that path before and they've gone on to be with Jesus, I want to learn. If they've written something down, I want to learn. What was that like? You know? And there are some spiritual giants who can guide us. I mean, some things that can challenge us. And at different, you know, it's not like you have to, you know, go read Thomas Aquinas or something like that, you know, dear God, you know, thank the Lord, you know. But it's just the, you know, it's just, there are those people that will challenge us and help us to understand something about walking with Him. Recently I've been quoting some from a book on my blog on Apprentice to Jesus by a man named David Benner, who is just he talks about surrender, and it has just been this amazing book and it's a small book, but just walking through it. And I finished those, and so I'm going back through another slender book by a man named Thomas Kelly, who lived the first part of the 20th century, and he just talks about the internal practices and secret habits of the heart that help us to understand some practices that can help bring in the light of Christ into our world, and does it in a way that says, that acknowledges, we live busy lives. We do. So how can I bring the presence of Christ into my life, even though it's a busy life? And Thomas Kelly did that. And so I want to learn from him. What was it that he did that helped turn his mind inward in particular times? He walked in that tension. And he longed for that abiding. So I reread that from time to time. There are, spiritual challenges that we can give ourselves. Three that are have been tremendous challenges in my life. Mark Batterson's book, The Circle Maker. It was just one of those books that at the right time, Terry and I had gone out to have coffee. We went over to Barnes & Noble, and because I just feel smarter sitting around books, and drinking coffee. But it was like one of those times where the Lord said, go get the book. It's time to read that one. And the challenge of that in prayer just ignited what was already there and just helped me to understand more. Francis Chan, Crazy Love, a tremendous book. There are books there are very few books I reread. Just not a good habit of mine. But one I reread almost every year is a spiritual autobiography by a man named Thomas Merton. It's called Seven Story Mountain. One, it's incredibly well written. He thought his calling was to be a novelist, and then he comes to Christ and enters into the monastic life and becomes this man of prayer. But that journey in Seven Story Mountain is his journey of coming to Christ. And it's a powerful, powerful book. I always know where this stuff is because, the book is so worn out. It just falls to those particular pages. But I know where that stuff, and it's like, watching a real sappy movie. I cry every time I get to it. It's like when it comes to faith and that realization, and when it comes to the realization of this is what the Lord is calling him to in this monastic life, and he goes back to the monastery. I mean, I'm just like weeping by the time I get to it. I know what's going to happen. And they're just those things. And again, it's part of that. I want to learn from giants. I want to learn from people who've walked with God. I want to hear from them. I want what their experience was to soak into me a little bit. And so, and again, it just plows up the ground and challenges me. The next thing here, chewing on a great reading, be still and know. Be still and know. And it's just simply that understanding of we need silence in our lives. All the devices off, silence sweeping in, having that practice of silence in our lives, that where we allow, again, this is one of those disciplines for me, I feel like best to learn the discipline of silence, you got to jump in the deep end first and then swim to the shallow if you make it. You could drown in the deep end. But that one is where I really recommend learning about silence, which is jump in the deep end. It's got to be 3 days, and it's best if you have a spiritual guide with you to help walk through what that silence needs to be, so that if you have a half hour that you can take for silence, you know how to take it. But it's that silence that just says all the noise needs to be off. Here's an opportunity for the Lord to do something. And over time, and not be bothered if you don't hear anything. That's a hard thing, because we feel like we got to hear something and God's going to reveal something to us, and we're going to go win China for Jesus or something, That it may be just the discipline of the Lord saying, are you listening? And it may be just that quiet of the Lord saying, I just needed you to rest for half an hour. And you never know. But we got to take it. We got to take those opportunities. The last thing here is remembering what the Lord has done. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 143, because I want to walk through this briefly, and then one of the things I want to have happen here is for us to recount the goodness of God, to remember what He has done. So in Psalm 143, the first four verses talk about the condition, the situation that he's in, and it's not a good one, okay? But in verse 5 it says, I remember the days of longing, I meditate on all your works, and consider what your hands have done. There are times where the situation is bad, and what we need to remember, and this is what the psalmist is trying to teach us here, what we need to do is not focus on the stuff that's coming at us. We need to remember and recall the goodness of God. We just need to remember. We need to remember how good He is. We need to remember when He's come through. So what I want to do to end as we go into the table of the Lord is I want us to end this by talking about the goodness of God. I would like for you to reflect and maybe just say a sentence or two of what is it that reminds you. It can be something that the Lord has done for you, something that the Lord has provided, or just an attribute of God, okay? God is merciful, okay? And I want us to spend some time doing that as we end.